Minato Safari Park is looking spectacular. Following the opening of the beautiful Visitor Information Centre, there's some pretty special things planned in the coming years, including a new hotel, glamping, self-driving tours and new enclosures. Thought I'd get on Director Peter Clark to join me to find out more. How's it going, Peter?
Yeah, it's going really well, thanks.
Lovely. So the park is already pretty great, obviously. What's the grand vision, though? How's the park transforming in the coming years?
It's changing all the time, but generally it's just getting more visitors all the time. So we're having to plan for different ways of getting people around and making sure everybody has a great time. Included in that is obviously more things to do. I mean, it's already a good day, you know, out up here, but with the accommodation and everything, you know, we're looking for some people to spend a couple of days here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a massive space, right? So that's a good way to give yourself a little breather.
No, it is. And it's with the new Wild Africa development, you know, that space is a really big picture there. It's a huge area. It's about 550 hectares of safari. Well, I think there's 24 kilometres of safari trails in there. And so, yeah, it's going to be really fantastic seeing all the animals out together.
So tell us more about that.
Yeah, that's been in the making for some years. When we secured a partner with the accommodation, that's Jerry Ryan, who owns Jayco in Victoria and many other businesses, and, you know, including tourist businesses, it all came to a head. And now the hotel has got a roof on it. It's a 78-room hotel. That's coming along really well, and hopefully will be finished by early next year. And then there's the 20 glamping tents as well with their own lodge, and that's being started now. While all this is happening, of course, we have to work on the area for the animals, and we're doing that in a few different sections to make it achievable. And we've already got animals over there in one section, just trialling them out with living together and also driving through them sort of with safari vehicles. So, yeah, it's all really, it's all happening. Something which we hoped would happen some years ago, and now all of a sudden is upon us.
I mean, it's already a spectacular place that draws people from all over the world, but that'll bring it up an extra few notches, won't it?
Yeah, it will. And we're not forgetting about the, you know, Minato itself. We've got new things planned for Minato, and you mentioned a few things, you know, self-drive options one day and also some new exhibits. We've been very, very pleased with the last couple of things that we've put in. You know, the Lions 360 has been really successful, and it's still really, really popular. That hasn't dropped away at all. And, you know, other things, there's baboon exhibit planned here, big one, and everything's got to be big up here.
Part of the rules. Oh, that'll be good. When are the baboons coming?
Well, it's still in a design stage, so we're working on that, and certainly we'll let you know when we've got more idea on when that can be delivered.
How is the Southern White Rhino project going?
We're still hoping for an importation to New Zealand by the end of the year, and they'll have to spend 12 months over there. They've got to spend quarantine in New Zealand coming straight from Africa. And then they'll be coming over to us, and they'll be quarantining here at Minato's after that.
Oh, that'll be fantastic, because that's a really threatened species, isn't it?
Yeah, no, they're in a lot of trouble, rhinos over there, unfortunately. Everybody's trying their hardest to try and protect them, but the price of rhino horn is just so ridiculous that it's making it really, really difficult.
With us at the moment is Director of Minato Safari Park, Peter Clark, just talking about developments in the park. What are some other enclosures that are coming up?
Well, we're actually building a new native animal experience, and that'll be, well, it's designed for people overnighting in the accommodation, because of the, you know, the habits of the Australian animals tend to be, you know, more easily seen in the evenings, etc. So there'll be food trails in a quite a large area of native bushland. That's one thing that we'll be doing. We're also working on native food gardens there. So not only, you know, are we thinking about supplying, say, the kitchen with some native food plants, but also making an experience there so people can talk to somebody from the Wurundjeri area here and talk about their native foods as well. So there's quite a few different things. Oh, one new one, of course, which is nearly finished, is the Valley of the Lemurs, which is a big, big development, and that's about 3 hectares of walk-through lemurs and giant tortoises. That should be going within the next couple of months. So that's a really significant exhibit that we're building, or experience that we're building at the moment.
Great.
There'll be about 40 or 50 lemurs in there eventually, and three species of giant tortoises as well.
Oh, beautiful. And they're coexisting in the same space?
Yep, they're all in the same space. They all seem to get on together fairly well. You know, tortoises are quite slow going, and lemurs are quite happy to bounce around in the trees and wherever. So we're hoping to get a couple of species, actually, of lemurs in there together. At the moment, it's all ring-tailed lemurs, but there's some other species which seem to get on together as well, so we might be doing that.
And how do you go about with, you know, transport and stuff? I'm sure it's been more and more challenging over the past couple of years.
It has. In fact, it stalled completely at one stage during the bigger part of COVID. But it's coming back now, although prices are really high at the moment as well. So hopefully things will get back to normal, and as we get more and more flights going, it'll be a bit easier. We did bring in some lemurs from the United States recently and some antelope from New Zealand. So it's all going again. It's just getting back to normal, I guess, is the hard bit.
Or a new version of normal, I suppose.
Well, that's true.
Yes.
Everything's changed.
Oh, well, I recently took my niece, my 2.5-year-old niece, for the first time, got to see all these big animals. It was very exciting. She loved seeing New Kondo, the new giraffe baby, and it's quite a wonderful experience to be with someone, a kid, or someone who hasn't seen anything like it before, isn't it?
No, you're right. I mean, this morning I was just driving through, and there was a baby addax just born in, you know, addax and an antelope from North Africa, and highly endangered. I think there was only 3 or 4 found in the wild in a recent survey a couple of years ago. But, we've had about 4 or 5 of those born in the last 2 weeks, I suppose. So there's always something happening here. It's some of these things are in a lot of trouble, some of these animals. And we support a lot of programs in situ where they come from. And then we have insurance populations, which sort of we're able to maintain here because of the sheer size of Manada.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, thank you so much. All the best with all of the projects. I'm sure it keeps you really busy. Peter Clark, thanks for joining us.
No, thank you.